We should be live right now. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to Real Estate Unlimited. But today we are not hosting a full podcast. We're just going to be doing a little bit of cold calls and lead generating. And so I want everyone to, voice your opinion, see what we do as real estate agents, how we make our calls and lead gen, and get back to this thing. With us today, we have James Franklin and also Evelyn Olivares. And so, all right, well, guys, Evelyn's going to tell us a little bit about interest rates, what's going on. She is a lender. So you're out there and you kind of want to know what's going on or what are your options. She's good. Podcast is coming soon, just to let you know. Evelyn, you can take it away.
Awesome. Awesome. Can you hear me okay? I got my headphones on, making sure.
Loud and clear on my end. How about you, James? Yes. Oh, cool. Good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Clear as vodka.
Okay.
I love that. I wouldn't mind having some. It was $250 here. Oh, Lord have mercy. Let's see here.
You guys make me laugh. This is the best podcast.
This is the best podcast because we have the best people on here. And I plan to call for sell by owners if I can find my password for LandVoice. Here we go. So I've been gone for a little bit. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, you know, I went back home to Greece to visit the family and went for one wedding, ended up staying for three weddings and changed. It was supposed to be 3 weeks, took 6 weeks off. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. Who does that? Right. I mean, I thought you were going to actually stay over there.
I was, but my clients need me. So I'm here.
There you go.
Let's go. I got in FSBOs. Wow. Let's see. We should be good. I want to go back about a month. You guys, so I don't know what you guys do for lead gen. I got James on here as well, so he can also tell you a little bit about his strategies. I like to do phone calls and set appointments. That's one of my main things to do. And that's what I like to do. Yeah. Let's see here. But rates, let's get back to the juicy topic, rates. What is rates? What are the rates looking like right now? And let me put a link in below. What's up, Michael? I see you're checking in here. Nestor, what's happening? You guys are welcome to join for the lead gen. Anyone out there listening is welcome to join for the lead gen if you want to be part of this. This is for real estate agents. It's open to the public. But the whole reason I created Real Estate Unlimited was to give you guys some taste on what we go through. James has a lot of experience in realty. He can definitely share and chime in on what he's been through and the struggles as agents, what we go through, because we cannot control the market, right, James?
That's right. We cannot control the market,
but we can control how we get people in and out of homes. And
we can contribute to the cause.
Absolutely.
We can contribute, but we cannot control.
So, Evelyn, rates down to 3% again.
Oh, no. We're not going to see that for a very, very long time. But I know that you guys can actually, confirm what I'm about to say as far as home values coming down. I think it's not really the values coming down. I think it's more of the inflation that we had on the prices that are coming down. But it's not pre-COVID prices yet. You know, before pre-COVID, of course, you know, prices were way lower than they are now. So I think that what we're seeing now is just the inflation coming down, which actually helps the buyers out there. But if you realize, we don't have both of the same at the same time as far as rates coming down and home prices coming down. It's either one or the other. And a lot of clients always ask me, hey, is it a good time to buy? And I always say it on my video, if you're prepared with your documentation that is needed to buy a home, and if you're prepared with your finances, you're on track with everything, always it's preferable for you to buy. Why? Because if you look at rent prices, I did a video last time. I was actually looking around on Realtor.com, and I went into the for rents, instead of the buying section. And come on, for a three bedroom, you're looking almost $2,000. Depends on what area you're looking for. And, you know, it was like rents like $2,000, $2,500 for a four bedroom. And even though rates are going up, guys, like right now our conventional, and I'm not saying this is for everyone. I'm just giving you like a the rate basically from different banks, you know, different all across the nation, rates on conventional right now, you're looking at a 7.125, even with a 700 score. So rates are a little up there. But if you look at rent right now, you're going to end up paying the same amount. If the rate is 7% and, you know, I mean, if the rates, I'm sorry, it's 7% and your rent, it's going to be like $2,500, you're actually going to end up paying less than renting an apartment or a single family home. So it's always a better choice to buy, you know, but they are about 7% conventional. Now, government rates, you're looking at a 6.62%, which is not bad compared to what was before at a 5%. I guess it is. But, you know, like I said, if you're going to rent versus buy, I would prefer and I would advise for you to go ahead and buy instead of renting out an apartment or a single family home. So I don't know if you guys agree with that, but rent prices are high and there's a lot of creativity that we could do as far as right now I'm working with some sellers and some agents, you know, working with the listing agents to try to get some folks into homes as far as like seller credits, using it as to buying down some points as well so you could get a better rate for your client. I think right now we're in a buyer's market. We're going to be in a complete buyer's market in 2023. I really believe that. That's what I'm thinking. That's what we're heading to. And right now, a lot of sellers are willing to help out the buyer, believe it or not, coming down on the price or going up and contributing to, you know, closing costs. I'm starting to see that more now, you know, so I don't know if you guys, you know, Paul and or James, and if you agree to that and what you're seeing out there right now.
Yeah, I want to speak to several points going from that statement that you just made backwards. I am seeing that with my sellers. I'm seeing that some of my sellers are willing to do a seller finance. Wow. Yep, do a seller financing where I would never have thought that they would go for that.
Right.
And then also when you were talking about the cost of renting being somewhere from $2,000 to $2,500 a month for a three bedroom, and that being outrageous to rent compared to buying, I would say that's very true. I myself have entered into the fray. My wife wants something, wants to sell and buy, and I asked her, are you ready for this? I'll do all the work, but are you ready for this? So she said she is, and so we went to a lender of her preference. I'm sorry, Evelyn. Couldn't come to you. She doesn't like
me. I forgive you, James. I forgive you.
She doesn't like me to deal with pretty professionals. So,
I forgive you, James.
And I got pre-approved. And by the time we looked at my, you know, credit rating and the amount, my payments would have been right around a little under $2,700 a month. And I'm talking about for a five bedroom, four and a half.
Oh, wow.
Basement, two car garage home. Community with HOAs.
Wow.
So that's a whole bunch of house when you compare it to a little three bedroom for renting.
Absolutely. Right.
A lot of house.
Yes.
So I would say to your point, just from this anecdote, it's going to be better, folks, for you to get out there and buy. Make it happen. Because when you rent, you're ultimately, at the end of the day, paying for someone else's mortgage. Or if they don't have a note, your landlord doesn't have a note, you're simply making them wealthier.
That's right. I agree.
And that's the bottom line. So build your own wealth. If not for you, do it for the loved ones in your life.
Generational wealth. You know, this is what it comes to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and start making some calls. James, any lead gen? What are you going to do for lead gen today?
Well, let me reach over here. See what's happening.
I know what he's going to go for, guys. James is going for the envelope.
I got some letters here. I got about 200 here in this box.
He's the letter man.
Yep,
James.
That's awesome.
Typed up. They're stamped. Self-address, return address,
I think he's got a connection there at the post office.
I got 200 here.
What do you pay for stamps, James? What do you pay for stamps?
I'm interested. Post office, and I got another 1,700 in the trunk of my car.
What?
Damn.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. James.
Feeling it. So,
yeah, I've got to pick up my granddaughter from Garner tomorrow, and she's going to spend the weekend with us, and we're going to go to the Parade of Homes over this weekend.
Nice.
And, and so I'm going to pick her up tomorrow around 1 from daycare, and that should be really fun, checking in there. And then I'll be looking after her tomorrow afternoon, and I'll be stamping envelopes.
There you go.
Parade of Homes where, James? Where is that?
There's a Parade of Homes. There's a subdivision off of Coliseum Drive, off of Robin Hood Road.
In Winston tomorrow? It's Parade of Homes? Oh, definitely.
There was one last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and then there's the same one this weekend in Winston-Salem, Saturday and Sunday. Check out my Facebook page. I put it up there, James Franklin Jr., and if you'll scroll down maybe about 2 posts, you'll see a link there, and it gives you all the information.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome, James.
That's good to know. I'm glad that that's going on because I didn't even know that. So definitely yep. Parade of Homes this weekend. And is it open to the public or just realtors, Jay?
Oh, yeah. To the public. To the public.
Yeah.
Yep. So, it's two posts down. I put a post up this morning about Jalen Rose and his sister. You know Jalen Rose, right? Basketball player. He works for ESPN now.
Oh, wow. And,
he was on Jeopardy recently. He did horribly. I was so embarrassed. He did horrible. I was like sinking up under my chair. He was so horrible on Jeopardy the other day. But I posted on Facebook another case of surviving siblings fighting over real estate. Jalen Rose has sold the home he purchased for his mother, who later passed away. Rose's sister, who was living with their mother, is up in arms over being evicted. Apparently, Jalen Rose, owned the property. Therefore, his mother could not will it to anyone. But if you own property, please make a living will to avoid this situation for those you leave behind. Mm-hmm. And I got a link up there. You can hit the picture, and it will take you to the his sister was trying to embarrass him by videotaping him in the house, and he had a potential buyer looking through the rooms, and he called her a squatter, and she took offense with that. But he's already sold it. It's already sold. So
there you go. There's some stories.
Yep. But if you look below that post, there's a post there about the Parade of Homes in Winston-Salem, and there's a link as well.
I'm definitely going to check that out. All you guys listening, Parade of Homes is a fantastic place to go see new homes being built by builders and what they have to offer as far as upgrades. And it's open to the public. It's this Saturday and Sunday. Grab your favorite realtor and go out there. If you don't have a favorite realtor, there's 2 right here online.
There you go.
You can go out with us. You need to buy these homes and you need a lender. We got Evelyn right here. Fantastic lender.
Yeah, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you.
Evelyn is. I can't stay serious on this damn show.
I make you guys laugh.
Okay. I was going to say something, but I don't think it's appropriate.
And everyone tuning in, I have been MIA. I went to Greece for a little bit to see the family. We had a fantastic time. And back here in action, going to make some live calls. So I guess we'll go ahead and get started. James is doing what he does best, and that is sending out letters. Evelyn, what do you do for lead gen? Just curious.
Yeah, so I do several things. You know, I'm kind of like old school, like James, still with the mail. And I haven't gotten to that part, James, but I think that's pretty cool what you do with, the letters and things that you send out. That's pretty cool that you still do that. You know, you're keeping it like the old times, you know. So that's good. That doesn't mean you're old. I'm not calling you old. We're still young guys, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But no, what I do is a lot of, I communicate a lot through videos. You know, I like to educate. I know there's a lot of trends. Like if you go to TikTok and Facebook, the Reels, you know, it's about making people laugh. And that's good. That's good. But when it comes down to something serious as buying a home, I think education is the best, because why people are going to trends, a lot of trends they pass by, you know, there's new trends and those become old, but education is always going to be there. It's going to be the same. So people can refer back to a certain video and learn about a certain topic, you know, and I like doing that. So I'm not too good with the trends and all that, like these young kids or, you know, even the adults, you know, that got into maybe a class of how to do that. I just more in education. So I think that that attracts a lot of the borrowers, because I think it kind of tells them, hey, you know, this person is knowledgeable. She really knows what she's doing. And I get a lot of leads, you know, through Facebook. Sometimes people, just going through TikTok. Hey, I'm in North Carolina. It could be Raleigh, Charlotte, you know, and I could direct them in that aspect, you know. So that's pretty cool, I think.
So, Evelyn, are you saying you use social media as a stance to connect with people and bring in leads as part of your lead gen?
Yeah, I do. I mean, people are addicted nowadays, you know. They're addicted to the phones. They're addicted to social media. And what best way for you to kind of like just go ahead and, you know, put your face out there, what you do, mortgages, whatever, you know, real estate, and tell them, hey, this is what I do. They're going to see you at one point. So I think social media is pretty cool. If you use it in the right way, of course, you know, but people are always on there, you know, looking for whether it's buying a new car, whether, you know, they're going to go online and check out the websites. They're going to go and see what rates are doing. In fact, I had someone just came in the office saying that I was on Google, because I used to use this marketing company, Home Loans by Evelyn. And she's like, oh, you know, I just was directed to this address to call you. And, you know, so social media is the number one for me.
I love social media as far as advertising, because there are no more commercials, people. You are the new commercial, and you've got to be putting forth content of value from what I can see. And I know, Evelyn, you do a lot. You talk a lot about the rates and that you're bilingual and that you're here to help people. You provide a lot of value in your content to let people know that if they need help, they can contact you or ask you anything. Be open, be available, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, I educate people. And one of the things too, I always tell people, if somebody, you know, we're talking about a little bit about rates right now. What I tell people, if you call a mortgage company and they tell you, oh, the rates, your rate's going to like be like 6.5, run from that company, because no one could tell you what your rate is until they actually do a full pre-qualification. That means pull your credit, look at your debt to income ratio, all those things, you know, to be able to tell you what your rate's actually going to be. Or if they tell you rates are this today, you know, that's kind of like communication or misrepresentation of what you do, because really everybody's financial, information is different. So it's going to, you know, I only could give you what it is out there in the market from all the banks, what they're quoting. That's how, you know, MBA, they come up with that, that information, or Mortgage News Daily, you know, that's how they do their rates, because they get it from different banks, what they're kind of quoting. But that doesn't mean that's going to be that person's rate. It might be a little bit better. It might be a little bit, you know, higher, depending on what the credit score and their debt to income ratio. So, you know, I educate people on that. Because a lot of people misunderstand that sometimes. And I think it's very important when you talk about that, you know, things like that, like PMI, a lot of people don't know what PMI is, you know, things like of that nature. That's why I like to educate people, because there's a lot of things too when you get a mortgage.
PMI is principal and interest.
Yeah. Principal and interest, you know, and some people don't know that. Why do I need PMI, and how do I get rid of PMI? So we're here as a lender, I think, to educate people, not just to, hey, get a mortgage with me. I'm so-and-so. Yeah, that's great. But you also need to educate, because you're showing what your knowledge is. You're really trying to help people, and they feel confident with you when they come in and say, hey, this person's actually not trying to just, you know, they're not wanting to just make a buck out of me, but they actually want me to have a good rate, or they actually want me to know what I'm getting myself into before I make a decision of buying a home. You know, and that's important. That's important to me. That's number one right there.
Absolutely. And that's where one of the crossing points where real estate shakes hands with lenders is when you discuss the topic of P&I. And I was just discussing that with my brother-in-law the other day. you know, he's thinking about selling his house and buying. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to kind of like be in shape, buddy, for this, you know. And he showed me some houses. I'm like, well, are you pre-approved? Yeah, I'm pre-approved. I was like, well, we discussed it. And he brought up the same question. Well, what is this whole thing about this P&I, James? And so I had to break it down to him. He said, let's get online and see what houses you wanted. For a $200,000 house, I said, at the rate that you're looking at, your interest over the lifetime loan is going to be right around $300,000. I calculated it for him. I added it back to the principal, and he basically almost choked on his deathly, you know, that he was drinking. And I said, well, wait a minute. I haven't gone through it. Now we go ahead and we divide it by the years, the term, and then we divide it by the months. And he said, oh, okay, I can deal with that, you know. So that's where real estate, one junction at which real estate shakes hands with lending is this whole discussion about the money. You know,
the money. Yeah. You know, and I always want my clients, James, you know, to have make a wise decision. I show them options. And sometimes if there's only one program, I will say FHA is the most popular, you know, when less than perfect credit, you guys know that. And but you know that the PMI on a FHA loan is going to stay the same throughout the whole 30 years of the life of the loan. Right. And I tell people, hey, try to get your credit straight, you know, get into a home with an FHA. That's fine. But try to make your payments on time. Not try, make your payments on time. After the eighth payment, within a year, if rates are good, or if you have enough invested in your home, or you only have an 80% LTV left, call me. We could refinance you and into a conventional so that PMI can drop, you know. So there's always, you know, when you buy a home, it's always a financial decision. And if you can't get a conventional from the start, FHA is good. The only thing you have to do is just refinance into a conventional in the future when your rate's higher. And if you don't have that 20% invested yet in your property, it's going to be lower, your PMI. Why? Because they're going to look at your rate, and that affects that PMI rate. So if it's going to be cheaper, and usually on an FHA, you're looking at 170, 180 in some cases. It depends on the score as well. You know, sometimes it could be 78 if your score is like 720, if you know. But yeah, so always consider that. You know, there's a lot of things to mortgages. And I just love, I'm telling you, there's a piece of the puzzles that I like working with, and I just love helping people and telling them, hey, there's options besides this, you know.
Evelyn, would you say the one thing that may, four things that can determine your credit score? We're looking at your mortgage rate, forgive me. Four things that can determine your mortgage rate. We're looking at credit score, your loan type, your loan term, and your down payment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, your down payment is going to affect your PMI to a certain extent, even whether it's FHA or conventional. If you're close to that 20% in down payment, I would always try to go for a conventional. Especially if your score is like 680 and above, you know, because most likely your loan's going to be cheaper, believe it or not, even though the rate is a little higher. But the PMI sometimes make a huge difference more than the rate. And I've seen that a lot, you know. But definitely it's going to be your debt to income ratio. It's going to be your credit score first, your debt to income ratio. So if you're a buyer looking, you know, looking at this podcast, work on paying down some debt because your debt to income ratio is really going to help you. At the time of qualifying, your credit score, keep all your credit cards below 30%. So your credit score won't go down as much. And of course, you know, with your down payment, work on your down payment as well, you know, save up some money. There's going to be closing costs. There's going to be a lot of things involved. So you want to make sure you have enough for your down payment and your closing costs.
Gotcha. Okay. And that can run. And that's roughly how much percent we're looking at. I know North Carolina gives you $8,000 for down payment assistance if you qualify for it. But if you need average is 3% on any loan, pretty much, unless you go FHA, it's 3.5. And then closing costs, they need what, $3,500 to $4,500?
Yeah, I would always say a 3.5 to a 4% for closing costs. And just remember, now we're in a buyer's market, and you know these real estate agents here, that they could help you negotiate with the seller, you know, for closing costs. So take advantage of the market we're in now. If you're able to buy, try to buy now.
Hey, Evelyn, let me ask you something. I'm not to put you on the spot. Do you handle like VAs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do VA loans.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Evelyn, you do USDA, FHA, conventional, VA. Am I missing anything here?
Yeah, we do the basic programs. I think most lenders do them all, the VA, you know, the VA, USDA, FHA, conventional, the 3%, the home ready, the home style, construction loans. We do all that. And mm-hmm. I think what happens, I always say not all lenders equal the same. And what I mean by that is that you go to a bank of so-and-so, a bigger bank, you know, than a private mortgage lender or smaller lender. What happens is that sometimes they're not able to go to a certain amount of debt to income ratio. And let me tell you, like FHA sometimes allow up to a 56% debt to income ratio. I'm not comfortable with it just because I know it's a guideline. Okay. We're able to go that high, but sometimes I'm not comfortable with it because I don't want my client. You see, I worry. I don't want my client to be so tight on their payment. Okay. Yeah. And some banks, they don't go, they like some bank of so-and-so or credit union, they might only allow up to a 40% debt to income ratio. And I'm able to offer a little bit more, and you're able to buy a little bit more home because our ratios can go up a little higher. Conventional, it's definitely a 50%. So that's why I would say not all banks equal the same or our lenders, because a lot of them might say, no, we're only allowed to go up to a 40% or 30 something percent. And, you know, take it or leave it, basically, right? Because they have a lot of overlays if they go higher and the bank will not acquire that cost. So we're able to kind of go a little bit more and go by FHA exact guidelines. Usually I've seen a 52 to a 53 that we've gone high on FHA as far as the debt to income ratio. But, you know, like I said, I don't really feel comfortable going to that 56 or 54 just because when I see that my client is going to be really tight with payment. Yeah. And it's mostly showing it on paper. You have to show that they have the funds to do this every month on their mortgage payment. But when I feel it's tight, I'm always, hey, maybe you need to go down a little bit on the price so you could be comfortable. Because you have to remember, you know, COVID just hit all of a sudden. You don't know what's going to happen next. And your economy might be a little different from 2 years from now. So you want to make sure that you're comfortable paying a certain amount each month, you know. So you have to advise, because we're not just a lender, but I am a mortgage advisor, and that's what I do. I have to advise you the right way. Why? Because in the future, you're going to say, hey, you know, that real estate agent really cared about me showing me this home, what was wrong with the property. This lender actually was worried about my payments a month, you know, about what program. And you know what? They're going to refer their friends. And, you know, a lot of, besides doing videos, most of my business as well, it's a lot of word of mouth. You know, it's a lot of families, people that I've done loans for that work at some factory. And they're like, hey, this person, call this person. They helped me. I've done like three cousins, I think, and like four brothers and sisters. You know, like, hey, you helped my brother. You helped my sister. So in the past, like, what, 4 or 5 months, because, you know, they thought I did a great job, you know, and it's not about me. It's just because I'm just following procedure. I'm just following what I've learned in this mortgage business and this mortgage industry is about helping people. And that's what I'm here to do. Advise you the correct way and help you to make that wise decision, you know, while buying a home. That's all it is. Mm-hmm.
Evelyn, do you guys work with Landis or any companies like Ribbon?
You know what? I've been trying to, the past companies I work, I've done a Ribbon before. I think I've done like one or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know that really helped the real estate agent not losing that deal. You know, I was happy with that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we actually financed when they were ready to go ahead and finance, you know, their loan. But right now I haven't worked with Ribbon, and I think we could integrate that. I just haven't pushed for it, but I know that's something, it's an option as well that could actually help the buyers.
Okay. Awesome. And those of you tuning in, Landis and Ribbon are companies that talk to the bank, they connect with the client, the buyer client. They will buy the house cash and then work with that client for them to buy it back. So let's just say there you have a client and a buyer client, and you're an agent, and you're trying to get, they're not fully qualified. They may need 6 months to a year to get qualified, but they're on the steps and things are looking good. You can go to Landis or you can talk to Ribbon. I've never used Ribbon, so I'm not really sure of their guidelines, but I know Landis does 6 months to a year. And Landis will then connect with Evelyn. They'll connect with the bank. They'll talk to them. They'll talk to the client and say, all right, we'll buy the house today cash. We'll put you in. You'll be paying us rent. They'll charge a higher amount of rent. And from that rent, they're also going to take out for closing costs and down payment and taxes. And then within the 6 months, 2 year period, when they can qualify with Evelyn, they'll turn around and then do a second closing and buy it from that company. So it's a great tool to have when you need people to get into a home and they're just in a really tight spot or in a hard position. Definitely look into that, guys.
Yeah.
I'm glad
go ahead, yeah. James. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought up that question because that was another question I was going to ask Evelyn. And I've only dealt with Ribbon one time, and that was on the seller side, representing the seller. It went very smooth. They asked for an extension of like 9 days. And I told them, well, look, guys, you know, and I've got to look out for my seller. You got a built-in into the contract. It gives you a built-in grace period of 7 days. So if I give you another 7 days, then, you know, you're taking advantage. And they said, we'll try to make it work, James. Okay. I said, okay, fine. So let's just see how it goes on day 7, and then we'll work from there. They needed 2 more days. We gave them 2 more days. It was smooth. And with the buyer, I think that the range at which the buyer has to pay for this as a sign of goodwill or putting skin in the game, they have to pay for this Ribbon program. It ranges like from $1,000 to $2,000, something correct. Like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that. So they have to put skin in the game for this to activate it. That's what right. I know. Yeah,
that's right. And also one of the important things too, because, you know, we want to make sure people don't think, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to Ribbon and get a house and then I'll just finance this. It doesn't kind of work that way. I mean, you explained it well, Paul, but I just want to say this too. What happens, the way that it worked with the company I was with at the time, was that, you know, they were already pre-qualified, but there was a little issue and I'm not sure what it was at that time. It's been like years ago. And I think that they just wanted to make sure that they were pre-approved, but the only thing stopping them was it could have been maybe a pay stub. It could have been something that we needed to wait another month to have more pay stubs or something like that. And as long as that was the only issue, they were willing to go ahead from an underwriter, because you need like a pre-approval from an underwriter. It's not just like, I'm going to go to Ribbon. And, you know, first you get pre-qualified. If something comes up in the process, that's when Ribbon is like a loan saver, you know, for the buyer, you know, and to obtaining that home, their dream, you know, their American dream, you know, buying a home. So they kind of save the day basically, right? Because what they do is like get the letter from the, you know, I'll provide the letter from the underwriter saying the only thing that's going on is this. Once we have this, we'll be able, as long as they maintain whatever else we got them approved on, and this is the only thing we're waiting for, we will finance the loan. So they come back in 6 months, 3 months maybe, and we'll go ahead and do that financing for them. So it's pretty good if you have something going on like that, you know. It worked pretty well. So
yeah, you got to watch out for the underwriters. Underwriters are like the the Jabba Hutts of the Star Wars universe.
Skywalker.
Don't get mad at him. I know you got a lot of friends. Underwriters.
Yeah, no, but you know what, honestly, like I know a lot of people, like they're Mr. you know, the underwriter, who's the underwriter behind it all, but I'm not gonna, this company, like the underwriter, like even the owner jumps in every once in a while. And I don't know if Maribeth's listening, but Maribeth, we love it. She's really good. And they'll try to save a loan. We'll try to find different ways to make it happen. We become creative in a good legal way. You know, just making sure, hey, you know, this is something, the guideline, we'll read all the guidelines, make sure that we're on the same page. And if there's something we could do to save this loan, we'll save it, you know, because we're about closing loans. Every company is, you know, so I don't understand, like, there's some companies. There was a company I worked, like, before, and it's like, I lost almost 16 deals with this company. Like, what the, you guys don't want to make money, close some loans or something, you know? Because I was like, you know, they kept saying no because of this, because I'm like, this is not right. Something's fishy here. But, you know, in this company, honestly, I could say the underwriters, we work together trying to make it happen. You know, if there's something wrong, they'll go out of the way to try to fix things, honestly. And that's, you know, it's a smaller company, but that's why I love it, because I'm able to communicate back and forth with the underwriter instead of waiting like a 24-hour period. You just pick up the phone and say, hey, this is going on. You know, can you help me? Or if I have a question about a guideline that I'm not sure about, they'll try to make it happen for me, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. So not on underwriters are bad, and you know, like, hey, I don't want to close your loan, you know.
Yeah, because I mean, they're just part of the machinery. They're you guys are selling money. That's what you're doing. You're selling.
That's
money.
Right.
Money.
We sell. We money sell mortgages.
Price, of course.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm. This was great impact of information there. I loved it. I'm looking at my email right now, and I'm.
Have
just
you made a call yet?
No, I'm not there. I'm gonna have to. How am I gonna call with people like? I say people like you guys, you know, haven't made one call yet. Call. This is why my sales are down, ladies and gentlemen, because of these two right here. Let's go. These two keep my sales down because they're too busy wanting to talk about.
Hey, but we're and giving, like, we're giving them good information. We're giving them good information. Eating chocolate. I could have been eating my flan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your flan.
He is on it.
No,
hey, you know that. Yeah, you know, it's good to, and I think James could relate to this too. You know, it's good when you're and Paul, but it's good when you're able to educate. I like that. You know, I like being an educator. Yeah. You know, just even if it's another subject of whatever, even it could be politics. We don't want to get into that, of course. But you know, whatever it is, I like to teach. You know, and that's if I do mortgage, sell you a mortgage. Hey, I want to know what's the best program for you. You're gonna buy. You're gonna get in debt for 30 years. You know what you're getting into, and you know. Know the things behind that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. So if I could communicate this is a passion. It's got to be a passion. If you're in this business, whether it's real estate, guys, or if it's mortgages, you have to love what you do. You can't just be in this for the money. You have to love what you do. Absolutely. You have to be a people person. You have to care about people genuinely in order for you to be successful in your life, you know, in whatever aspect, you know. So
and I know
truly believe this.
I know so many, and I'm so on board with that. I know so many real estate agents, they get their license and they're in it for the wrong reason. You know, I know agents who've been in it for like 1-2 years. They have not had one transaction.
That's not.
But you know why, James? You know why, James, though? I'm sorry to cut you just real quick.
Go ahead.
You know the reason why? Because sometimes they have this misconcept of other, and I understand. Look, if you're successful, you have the money and the way you want to spend the money, that's fine. You know, I mean, if you got the money to have a big, huge Mercedes and do this, that's fine. But a lot of people, they're looking at it like, oh, I'm in this business, I'm at the beach, and I have a Mercedes, and I have this big home just because I do this. You know, and they get into that misconcept and say, oh, I'm going to do real estate. You know, they look at this California, some kind of program on real estate.
$1 million listing and selling sunset.
Exactly.
And selling Tampa.
Exactly.
And ladies who sell Atlanta. And that's really a miss. That's really it's not a true to form. It's not a representation of what we are in the industry. It's not
exactly.
And it makes me think of somebody posted something, a fellow real estate agent in Atlanta. She's like, are we selling real estate or are we selling ass? And
that's funny.
I'm going to agree to that because it's not fair. Evelyn, I don't care what you say. Yeah. It is not fair. It is not fair.
But the thing is, there is a whole big misconcept going on there. And you got to be in this, I mean, to help people. And I'm about helping people. Evelyn's about helping people. Paul's about helping people. And it is about helping people. And as a byproduct, you make some money, that's great. But it's about helping people. It really is. Because when I get in front of clients, I like, especially either one, best sellers are buyers. I love to show them my back office. I ask my seller, what do you think your house is going to sell for? I want $1 million for it. Well, let's go. Let me show you my back office and let me show you the science behind how I evaluate what your home should bring on an open market. And when I show them that, the science behind it, the statistics, the comps, eyeballing and picking out from a results page the ones that most closely fit their property, they really don't have much of a rebuttal. They really don't have much of a rebuttal, you know. So it's about helping them to understand, because if they understand, they're going to be more lucid about what's going on. They may not like it necessarily, but they're going to be a lot more knowledgeable about what's going on with their property. once we put it on the open market. And the same thing goes for buyers. You know,
right.
You can't pluck a number out of the sky. I'm going to underbid on this. I'm going to offer right at asking. You know, let's run a CMA. Let's run an MCA. And let's see what the statistics show us. James is not making this up. James is discovering this based upon the facts, based upon events, based upon the scope of the subject house, the radius, based upon the number of months or days that have gone by since these houses have closed, based upon like, kind, quality. These are hard, cold facts.
That's right. That's right.
It's enlightening, and they appreciate you for that.
They do.
Absolutely. I want to give a quick update here. Guys, when you go to list your home, and agents out there, I think it's very important. It's like Evelyn said earlier, the market's still strong, but because we're seeing a higher in interest rates, they're sitting on the homes are sitting longer. All right. The days on market now is 7 days, the average. Just today, we had 38 homes have a price decrease. 47 new listings, 4 back on the market, 38 decreased, 2 with a price increase.
2 for the price of 1.
What?
2 price increase, 2 homes today or price increased. 1 in Thomasville, 1 in Knoxville. They went up. And so, you know, and agents out there, you need to be getting on this MLS every day, and you need to be looking at the market watch. You need
I'm
to know
right now.
You need to, there you go. You need to know your stats. You need to know what's hitting the market, especially if you had buyers. You know, when I first got in this business, and you know, a lot of us are not proud to accept our admit our failures, but I will. I got in this business and I have buyer clients, and I'm not even look at the stats. I don't even look at what's new to the listings. And how do you think that went? Yeah, 0 sales. Like I lost them. And when I got my listings, right, my first few listings, did I go and look in the area in that neighborhood to see what's going on and report back to the seller every week? What's going on? Who had a sale? What was the square footage? What was the price increase? What was the price decrease? I didn't do any of that stuff. And you know what? That's lesson learned. I had to learn the hard way, you know, and but now I do know, get on the MLS, know your market, know your stats, be the knowledge broker, and report. Communication is key. Report to your clients. Every Wednesday, I call up every one of my clients every Wednesday. And then if I have listings, I usually meet the client on Thursday. Every listing I have, I meet them face to face. And for the buyers that I don't see regularly, I meet them weekly. So if we're on a standstill, I do my best to meet them weekly. I keep vanilla folders. I'm old school. I keep these things right here. And I sit down. I'm like, okay, what do we got here? Where are we standing? When's the last time you talked to the lender? And I think it's very important. Communication's key. Come from the heart. Come from contribution. Just like you both said earlier today. I mean, it's great. So what I'm going to do is that we're having way too much fun on this podcast, and I'm not getting.
I had to put you on hold for a little bit.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and end this session. This is going to be a fantastic podcast. This is actually going to be a podcast. I'm going to put this in the Real Estate Unlimited and get it out there so everyone can listen. We're up to 400 followers right now.
Oh, fantastic.
And, yeah.
And, that's
good. Smart guys. You guys are smart.
That's right. And
no, we got two of the smartest real estate agents here. You heard James. You know, he's really, really into helping the clients, especially Paul. Very knowledgeable. So, you know, if you guys are looking for a great real estate agent, look, here's two of them right here.
Well, we have a fantastic lender on the show, and I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to go ahead and end this session. And if you guys got any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Pass this along if you're listening. Pass this along to anyone you may know who has an interest in real estate. And if you are interested on a topic, you want us to talk about it, comment below. Let me know. Reach out to us. I'd love to talk about it. That's what's great about this. We're here to help each other. And,
that's right.
I guess that's about it. I don't have anything else to say. Do you guys have anything else to say before we're gone?
That's about it. It was great being with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Evelyn, if they need to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Yep, you could call me at 336-912-0332, and I'll answer your call. If I don't answer, text me, and I'll call you right away.
Awesome. And James, how about yourself?
Same here, 336-978-8491. I don't pick up, leave a message or call me. I'll return your phone calls. I will respond to your text.
That's awesome. And with me, guys. Bye-bye. I'll see you later. And thank everyone for joining in, and we will catch you guys later on.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Bye, guys.
Happy calling.
Thank you. Bye.